Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. When we talk about purpose and passion on this show, the great thing is that purpose and passion can really come from anywhere and really inspire us in many different ways. Our next guest is someone that's been able to find purpose and passion through motion. We're going to be speaking to Christopher McDaniel, not only about his love of dance, but what it's been like for him to share that love with all of you, as well as, of course, what advice he has for others when it comes to pursuing their own goals and dreams. Chris, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Well, look, we're excited to have you on with us. You know, it's always great to be able to talk to people who have not only figured out what they want to do with their lives and why they're here, Chris, but also, of course, to be able to live that. When you look at this journey for you, when you look at what you've been able to do, what has that felt like for you to not only be able to find your place in the world, but to be recognized for that?
You know, it's been extremely rewarding. It's been slightly daunting, but it's inspiring. It makes me feel that it's possible. You know, it's kind of weird when you sit down and you put things into perspective and you think about all that you've been able to accomplish and the opportunities that have been afforded to you, and you just kind of have a moment of wow. You know, you're in awe and you're extremely just grateful, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of people, and like I said, Chris, we talk about, you know, purpose, passion, and following your dreams. We talk about that all the time, all throughout this year. And a lot of people will say, you know what, it's really easy to talk about it, even as you said, it can be daunting at times. But, you know, what was it about music? What was it about dance that first spoke to you?
Well, you know, I grew up in East Harlem, and so East Harlem is also known as Spanish Harlem. So music is pretty much the lifeblood of that neighborhood. You know, everywhere you walk, everywhere you turn, there's music being played. Someone's walking up the street singing, or someone's car is, you know, blasting music. And so I was always surrounded by music. I also grew up in church, where I heard some of the best music ever. You know, my cousin Renee was the praise and worship leader, and she literally, you know, every Sunday, flatfoot singing, you know, from her heart. And so that's all I knew was good music, you know, and all of the musicians, live music, and people's reaction to that music. And it always made me feel some type of way. You know, I always was moved by the music. Either it made me really happy, or it made me kind of think about something, you know, if the song had a specific message, I was always moved almost instantly. So it's kind of just been a part of me since, you know, my very young years.
So, you know, when you're saying that, you know, I think that's interesting, because I like music. I love the way that stories can be told through music. I definitely cannot sing, though, Chris, and my regular listeners know that. That is not a gift that I've been given. And believe me, dance is not a gift that I've been given. But it does not stop me from trying. But I bring that up for this reason, though, because there are so many people who may feel as though something moves them, but they don't make the decision to share it. I'm sure you've heard great people like I have who are great singers that work at McDonald's, or, you know, are out somewhere, and you're like, wow, you should be doing something with that voice, but they're not feeling that confidence for themselves enough to share. When did you get to that place where you know that, you know what, I'm inspired by this, I'm moved by this, and I can't keep it to myself, I want to share it with other people?
Well, you know, back to, like, you know, it's a great question, because I couldn't really quite figure out when it happened, because I felt like there have been so many instances where I've had this sort of aha moment. Mm-hmm. But one of the foremost moments was being a praise dancer in New York at the Life Changers Church and Ministries of Manhattan. And I remember, you know, dancing, you know, just being really into it. And and getting this reaction and this response from the congregation and everyone was very, you know, warm and congratulatory. And so I, you know, anytime someone says something good to you, you, of course, you know, you start to feel better about yourself. And but it was different. I started to feel good about myself, but then I also started to feel good about the fact that I was able to be in that position to bring someone else into a different realm, if you get what I'm saying.
Right.
I felt like I was empowered in such a way that I could take someone out of any, you know, situation they were thinking of in that moment and distract them and give them a, you know, an out for a second. You know, of course reality is going to be there, but for these 3 or 4 minutes that I'm up here dancing my soul out, you know, you don't have to think about those problems. Whatever I'm, you know, showing you through my movement is hopefully gonna, you know, make you feel like everything you do have to deal with is doable. You can get through it. So there's that. But then also when I was at Dance Theater of Harlem school as a kid, I remember, you know, watching the company perform and just sitting there like, wow, this is incredible, and feeling like I had to change my everything in order to be a dancer, because I was, you know, I was kind of a little brat of a kid, you know, just kind of bad mouthing and just trying to pretend I was big and bad when I really wasn't, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I felt like watching the dancers on stage, I instantly was attracted to that discipline. And so it made me change myself, and it made me say, okay, well, I have to shape up and kind of be a better person so that I can then go on stage and do that same thing, you know. And Arthur Mitchell always said to us, you know, it's your job as, you know, a dancer, as a performer, as an artist, to take people away from their problems. And that's when you know you've done your job, when you can really, you know, allow someone that escape.
Yeah. The great segue, actually, into how it makes other people feel. We're going to talk about that. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. Already having a great conversation today with dancer Christopher McDaniel. We're talking to him not only about his love of motion and music, but what it's been like for him to literally share that with the world. We'll be telling you guys a little bit later how you guys can stay connected with Chris. So when you hear from people exactly that, what you just shared, Chris, when you hear from people how watching you dance or how a performance you're a part of makes them feel, what does that do to you? I mean, what does it do for you? Because, I mean, it's something that you're enjoying. What is it like for you to know that other people are getting something out of it as well?
Well, for me, it makes me, it reminds me of why I do it. It kind of brings me back to the reasons that we go through the in and out of, you know, the routine, the toiling, the fighting, the grit of it all. You know, hearing that one person say, wow, you know, you really, you know, moved me tonight with your, you know, dancing or whatever, it reminds you that you're not in this for yourself. You know, at Dance Theater of Harlem, we always had this saying that we're in service to the art form and that we're representing something much larger than ourselves. And I take that thing so seriously, you know what I mean? So when, you know, even if I'm not feeling so great, you know, during our last run of Swan Lake with Los Angeles Ballet, I had a bad case of bronchitis, and everyone's looking at me like, what are you doing here? But for me, it's not about really what I'm feeling. It's more about getting on the stage and, you know, delivering this to someone else. You know, I take it very seriously that if I'm not on my post, someone may not get that inspiration that I once got. You know what I mean? So it makes me remember that it's not about me all the time and that it's about the audience and the people who are coming to receive.
And I think that is the amazing thing. So, you know, I guess an obvious question, Chris, would be is how did you get to a place of courage? I mentioned to you before we went live here that, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, throughout the year, they talk about what they want to do. They talk about what they would like to do, or they'll see someone else doing something and they'll say, well, I can do that. But they're not doing it, you know, for whatever reason. How did you, you know, get past the fear of what other people might think or how I may even do personally? How did you get past all of that and get the courage to pursue what you loved?
That's a good question. You know, in life, it's difficult because, especially where I grew up in East Harlem, you don't have very many young men saying, "Oh, I want to be a ballet dancer." You know, that's not a thing. You hear quite often, you know, "I want to be a basketball player or a football player, or I'm going to be a rapper," or, you know, whatever. So for me, it was difficult to come to that realization that that's what I wanted to do. But I also had a good support system. You know, my grandmother, she saw that I was interested in something that could actually take me somewhere. And so she, you know, gave me the okay. She didn't want to have to, you know, spend a bunch of money and all of that stuff. But what she did was she saw that I had done the work. I did the research. I did, you know, the research and finding an audition for whatever school. And I trained myself enough so that I was given a scholarship. So from there, she then put me on the bus. I was 10 years old. She took me up there the first time. And then from then on, I had to go by myself. So I then knew for myself, all right, this is what I want to do. This is what I have to do. I have to stick with it. You know, so that already was a builder of courage and saying, okay, I'm making these steps on my own. But then also just kind of looking around at the status quo of where I was, no one was really doing anything out of the norm, you know. I always had this thing where I wanted to be different because I always felt different and I always felt like I needed to keep pushing to be better and I wanted to strive to do something that, you know, everyone wasn't doing. So that was kind of a, you know, a little push. And then I had my cousin Tiana who she went to performing arts schools and she was a singer and she was my vocal coach. And so I would always talk to her about it, and she was always there. You know, she'd come to performances and all of that stuff. And, like, so I had a good group of people who reminded me every time that, listen, this thing that you're trying to do is great, and it's going to be difficult, and not everyone's going to understand it, but you have to kind of get to a place where what everyone else is saying, the negativity won't matter. Right. So I think I was able to find that young enough, and I'm extremely grateful for that.
You know, there is, you know, that saying, of course, that we all, you know, are, you know, teach so we can learn. And you've been able to do the opposite of that as well, Chris. You've been able to learn so that you can teach. Do you find what has made you effective is that you realize the journey that so many are going through, and that kind of makes you more empathetic to their own process?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and this is a part of growing up in, you know, such a faith-based home. Nothing just happens, and you don't just go through things just because that's what's happening. You know, everything has a lesson within it. So I always felt that everything that I was going to be challenged with was going to then have a lesson that I had to share with someone else. And I really do credit, you know, the teaching at church for that, because everyone would, you know, we'd have testimony service and someone would jump up and say, "Oh Lord, let me tell y'all what happened," you know, and everyone would share their story and, you know, talk about how this thing happened to them this week in hopes of someone else hearing, you know what, you can get through this. So I take that for myself with my, you know, career or the challenges that I face. I'm very open about, you know, the struggles within this career because there are so many people who have questions or they have these concerns and they don't get to voice them. And so I feel like, you know what, listen, like, I'm not going through it just to, like, sit around and feel bad about it. I'm going to let you know exactly what I went through and here's how I got through it, you know.
So, you know, with that being said, that's interesting that you say that, Chris. I mean, do you think then that I mean, I ask people on this program, especially people who have achieved different things in life, you know, are they comfortable with being looked at as a role model, you know, just by, of course, you know, being able to do what you love, but then knowing that other people are watching. Is that something that you embrace based on this journey?
Yes, I do. And I started off by saying it's sometimes daunting.
Right.
Because when you put that, when you take hold of that mantle, that you're someone's role model, it then kind of causes you to, you lose a little bit of yourself sometimes when you're constantly thinking of what you're going to look like for someone else, you know? But for the most part, I'm okay with that because I've had so many incredible role models who have kind of paved the way and have shown me only that side that I needed to see, you know? And I mean, of course, you know that they're human and that they fall and that they struggle, but they've maintained their demeanor and their poise, you know? And so I can look up to that and say, well, you know what? They've been consistent. You know, that consistency is what I strive for.
Right.
So at times where, you know, when it's daunting, when I'm like, oh my goodness, like I just want to, you know, like lay down and cry right now. I feel like I can't sometimes because I don't want, you know, someone who's looking up to me to see that and think, oh, he's cracking. He's not as strong as, you know, I like to think he is. But then there's that other side of me that's like, well, this is who I am. This is a part of me being a role model to you is letting you see that, yes, we do cry. We do fall. And I fall a lot. Lord have mercy. And we, you know, we have these human experiences and me being as real as possible about it is, you know, me being a role model. So it's, you know, sometimes it can get to be a little much to feel like you have to be, you know, this shining example of all things confident and professional, but you don't have to in order to be a good role model. You can show people that, yeah, you know, I'm having a bad day and you're going to have bad days as well, you know.
Right. Exactly. Well, what a great comment. Well, again, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I've been speaking today with Christopher McDaniel. We've been talking to him not only about the journey to doing what he loves, but how he's been able to not only to be a dancer, but also to teach and to inspire people along the way. Social media is one of the ways that you've been able to keep people connected to the work that you do, Chris. I noticed recently that you posted a throwback picture, and you were talking about this particular picture was a highlight in your career, and that was being used as an advertisement for the Los Angeles Ballet. When you see something like that, is that a form of validation for you that you chose the right path and that you're walking the right path in your life?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I grew up, you know, watching these incredible dancers at Dance Theater of Harlem, and you idolize them, and you see them on stage, you see them on posters, you see them in magazines and stuff. And so when you get a tangible piece of recognition, it does another bit of boosting for you. You know, hearing someone say to you, wow, you were great, or you moved me, or what you did today was spectacular is incredible, and it makes you feel good and it lifts you up. But then when you have something that is actually tangible, something physical, a certificate or a trophy or, you know, a picture, it, you know, it kind of, it validates you a little bit. And it's not, you know, of course it's not your main goal is to, you know, be on someone's poster. But when you feel that you've gotten to a level where this incredibly acclaimed company who's, you know, this Los Angeles Ballet is, you know, on the rise and it's doing all of these incredible things, and they've taken a picture of me and one of their, you know, main soloists, and they've put us, you know, on their advertisement. For me, that says, you know, Christopher, you've done such a good job at this role, or, you know, this picture of you is, you know, going to encourage people to come to the show, you know, whatever. It does validate you a little bit, and it feels good, you know, and it's one of those moments where you have to kind of encourage yourself so you have that to go back to, you know.
Right, right. Do you find yourself being your your biggest competition? And I guess what I mean by that, do you find yourself, Chris, being the one that pushes you the most?
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, there are some times where I am way too hard on myself because I take it so seriously, you know? And I, so many times, my boss, Colleen Neary, she's incredible. She'll say to me, you know, you can't take everything so seriously and so personal. And it's hard to hear her say that because a lot, you just want to, like, do well and you just want to please everyone and all of that stuff. But then you do get to a point where you have to say, okay, listen, take it easy for a second, you know. Life is going to go on even if you didn't nail that turn. I find a lot of times that I kind of damage myself in being so hypercritical. But that drive within me, that grit, keeps me striving, you know. So it's just like anything else. It's good in balance, you know. You can't be too hard on yourself and too competitive within yourself because then you're not accepting your triumphs and the things that you've done well. You know, you're just focusing on, oh, I'm not good enough. And that just kind of negates everything.
Right. Well, a great lesson, I think, for all of us. Again, everyone, I've been speaking today with Christopher McDaniel. We've been talking to him not only about his love of the dance, but how he's been able to share that literally with the world, and especially, of course, thanks to social media, being able to keep us updated on everything going up with him. Chris, how can our listeners stay connected with you and find out what you're going to be up to in 2015?
Well, I am very big on Twitter and Instagram. Well, Instagram more so lately. You know, it seems like taking a picture of something is a lot of fun. I don't know. But yeah, I both handles are Chris McDaniel 08. So that's on Instagram and on Twitter. I tweet every now and again. And I, like I said before, I keep it real. You know, if I'm having a rough day, I tweet about that. I try not to get too crazy like some people, like, oh, well, I'm on my way to the bathroom. You know, no one needs all of that. But, you know, I do talk a lot about, you know, what's happening throughout my rehearsal day. And a lot of people who do follow me on Twitter know that I've been dealing with a knee injury, so I haven't been performing. And so that's been a difficult thing to deal with. So I've been kind of using my social media to kind of vent about that a little bit. So, yeah.
So definitely you guys stay connected with Chris through, as he mentioned, through Instagram and Twitter. Thankfully, he's made it very easy for you guys to do it because it's both the same name, Chris McDaniel 08, where you guys can find him on both. So definitely make sure you guys are doing that. Chris, again, really appreciate the conversation. I know you have some traveling in your near future, so we appreciate you taking out the time. Last question I have for you, though, is one that I try to ask everyone, and that is, you know, about paying it forward. What advice would you give to people about the importance of pursuing their own goals and dreams, whatever they may be?
That's such a big question. But, you know, what I would say to anyone is that if something, this is really cheesy, but the movie Sister Act 2 has a scene where Whoopi Goldberg says to Lauryn Hill, she's like, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you go to bed at night and all you can think about is singing, then you're supposed to be a singer.
Mm.
So I'll say that same thing. If this thing is weighing so heavily on you and it's all you can think about, it's what you love, it's what makes you happy, then you have to pursue it. And then the worst that happens is it doesn't work out and then you find something else that you love. But the worst thing for me is to feel like I might regret having not tried it, you know. Right. Moving out to Los Angeles to join Los Angeles Ballet was a big jump. It was a big leap. I was borderline depressed when I was making the decision because it was just so heavy. But, you know, at some point, you have to just take that risk, you know, and you find the people who are going to support you. When you have a dream and you want to put brick and mortar around it, the worst thing you can do is hang around people who are going to feed the doubt. you know, growing up in church, I'd always hear, feed your faith and starve your doubt. So if something is really, you know, important to you and you love it, feed into it, and whatever you feed the most is going to grow. So, yeah.
There you go. And you're hearing it from someone who definitely knows. Again, everyone, Chris McDaniel has been our guest. Chris, congratulations to you. Continued blessings to you. And looking forward to checking back in with you in the new year.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Thank you for the time. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another edition of Conversations Live. If you guys came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the podcast of this a little bit later on. If you guys are joining us on the radio side, though, you can always find out on our website when it will be replaying in your area so you can be able to catch it again. For those joining us online, you can find the link on Facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. We actually tagged Chris there on Twitter, so you guys can easily find him there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.